What's going on, people, and welcome back to the Baby Fathers Podcast for another brand new episode. Before I start today's show, make sure you press that subscribe button and notification button so anytime a new episode comes out, you're going to be the first to know, all right? So I'm your host, I got to be the name of DJ Riddler, and on today's show, I've got two special guests. So thank you for coming on today's show. Tell us a bit about yourself and what you actually do.
Okay, so my name is Nana. I'm a social worker. I've been a social worker for 10 years. I'm currently a team manager for Looked After Children's team. I'm also a practice educator. So social work students who are coming in, I assess them, and I also assess newly qualified social workers. And man's also a lecturer as well, bro.
Okay.
Man lectures as well, isn't it? So man's got to just plug that up, but yeah, I'm a lecturer as well.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And you, my bro?
Yeah, so I'm Robert. Gosh, do you know, I need to find myself a title, you know, because there's so much to what I do. But I represent youth offending, inclusion, education, and obviously I do a lot of consultancy. So if anything, I would say I'm a behaviour mental consultant.
Okay.
But yeah, so yeah.
All right, so I want to talk about, obviously I want to start on the social services side first. You're a social worker.
Yeah.
What is actually your role? What do you actually do?
So part of my role being a social worker is a lot of it is to kind of provide support and also to assess families. So there's different levels of support depending on the nature of the referral that comes into the MASH team, which is called the Multi-Agency Safeguarding Hub, isn't it? So it depends. It will depend on the referral that we get, but we're also there to obviously safeguard and protect children. And there's different levels that we have to go through to provide support for any child or young person that or family who needs responding to. But that's basically essentially what my role is.
And in terms of that, what challenges do you face when you're doing these visits?
So like when I first started, I think the main challenges is the fact that obviously people don't like social workers. Do you know what I mean? So often you do get a lot of resistance from families because the narrative that's out there is that you're going to come in and take children away. And I think part of like why we've been doing the podcast is because I've been trying to educate people on that social services doesn't actually operate that way, that there's procedures and there's layers and things that we have to start from. You have to start from the very, very bottom and then make your way up, which is what I'm trying to educate people about. So yeah, a lot of times you get hostility. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you get families who do want support. It depends, like I said, on the referrals. It might be to do with neglect. It might be to do with domestic abuse. It might be to do with housing. It might be to do with mental health. There's so many range of cases that we get that we have to respond to.
All right. So if you're going into someone's house and you're going to do an assessment, what kind of things do you look for?
So when you go into somebody's house, I mean, the main thing is observation. So you look at the living environment, but you also speak to the parents as well. You speak to the parents about the referral that came in. You also speak to the children, but also on top of that, you get information from the professionals. So when we get referrals in, and I keep saying to a lot of people that social services is a response organization. So I'm not going to walk into any child's home or family's home unless somebody makes a referral to say they've got a concern. So when I've gone on home visits, I generally have conversations with family about the referral. I ask about their family dynamics. I'll also speak to the children as well. I'll go and look at the children's living space. It's just general stuff, do you know what I mean? And then also get information from the professionals that will consolidate my assessment. If I think the case needs to close, if I think the case needs to be open, I might speak to extended family members as well, you know, and feed off what the parents are also saying to me as well as the professionals.
So if the, for a case to be open, what extent would that would have to be if a case is open?
So normally what happens is that when a referral comes in to do an assessment, that falls under Section 17, which is children in need. So it means that we have a duty to provide services to family. We also have a duty to assess. That's kind of like the lowest threshold. So the social worker could go in and we have 45 working days to do an assessment. But local authorities will say, do your assessment within 30 days. By day 30, you should know if you're going to close the case or if you're going to keep the case open under maybe a child in need plan, or if the concerns are higher, you might need to go to a child protection inquiry or child protection, which is Section 47. But it depends on the nature of the case because referrals can be low risk, they can be very high. It just depends on what comes in.
All right, so when you go to these home visits, do you find that sometimes you get the mothers who are lying in terms of allowing a father to come around to see the child.
So you see, with that, I'll tell you what it is, Dwayne, with that. When it comes to mothers and fathers, those kind of cases are private law cases, private law proceedings. So what tends to happen in my experience is that when I've had cases that are already open, say the child's already open to me on a child need plan or child protection plan, there might be issues between the parents, between mum and dad. Now, in some cases, I'll be honest, there are cases that I've worked with, but actually there are mothers who are preventing the children's father from seeing their child and having access. So some of the feedback that I get is that some mothers have been through, for example, domestic abuse. And so sometimes when they prevent contact in their eyes, they're preventing it because of what they've experienced and what their child may have experienced from the father. In other times, in other circumstances, it might be the relationship has broken down and there may be no safeguarding concerns. The case might be open, but it might be the fact that there isn't any safeguarding concerns with the father. The relationship has broken down. The mum and dad are not getting on. So there's times about actually, I've spoken to a lot of fathers who do call me on a regular basis to find out what's actually going on with their child and the fact that they can't have access. And I think a lot of Dwayne fathers feel that social services is very biased and they feel that actually Let me land. A lot of fathers, I know why you say what you say.
No, they're biased.
Yeah. No, we're going to get to them after and ask them why.
Yeah.
There's lots of fathers who I've worked with who feel that social services is very biased and feel that we're very much unbalanced and that often social workers take the mother's side over the father's side. When I've worked a lot of cases and I've gone into court, like private law proceedings, and this is where I think is key, where I think a lot of fathers become unstuck is legal stuff. So there's some fathers who are not able to have contact with their children, and this is due to birth certificate. So now there's some fathers who are not on the birth certificate. So when they speak to social services, the fathers literally have no legal jurisdiction because they haven't got any parental responsibility. They're not able to make any decisions for that child. The mum's got parental responsibility. She's on the birth certificate. The father is not there. So when it comes to the father having access, it's difficult. What some fathers do is that they will go down the private law route if they've got the funds to be able to do it, to say that I'm having difficulties with having access to my child and the mum is preventing me. So social services, where we come in, it'll be via to write a Section 7 report. So normally CAFCAS make the referral to us and the social worker comes in to write that report. That report has to be very, very balanced. Your role as a social worker, you are not there to take any of the parent's side.
All right, let me just hold that fire right there. Yeah. Just hold that thought, because we're not going to leave that place.
Yeah.
Going over to you, are you saying that social services or social workers are biased?
All right, so first of all, I think it's very important that I do get the balance right. So I work with social workers every single day. I have a case load of up to like maybe 40 young people that I work with, and I work alongside at least 35 social workers on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. Now, every social worker has a different technique of how they go about addressing or working with the case, depending on the scenario, yeah? But this is about, and today, I'm literally here to talk about, to be an advocate for the fathers, right, yeah? So this is the angle that I'm going to come from. So there are a lot of social workers that I feel at times, they can be biased. Now, as a social worker, your job isn't to be biased towards a particular parent. Nan is absolutely right. If domestic violence is involved, then yeah, the mother and that child are first priority and their safeguarding is important. And that's first, most of all, yeah? But, unfortunately, in the last couple of years, maybe even generation after generation, we're going through this very boring, very draining, very heartbreaking time of fathers who are not seeing their children. And what's quite sad for me as a professional, and on a personal level, because I've got friendship groups who are going through that, is we have this thing, mothers against fathers. What everyone doesn't seem to understand, and even sometimes I feel some professionals, is that, you know, we're failing the children. Now, in order to better aid and better help the child, let's listen to what they want. Surely two parents are better than one. But we just seem to be going through this, you can't talk to the child. Now, I've worked with mothers on cases and social workers on cases where some of the mothers have, I'm going to say on purpose, you know, spoken about the father in a very negative
way.
Yeah. That makes them look absolutely, that makes them look horrible on paper. And our social worker's like, oh my God, oh, is that what's happening? Oh, no. Keep him away from the children. Yeah.
And is that coming more from a female?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Once again, I mean, Nana will agree with me. Social work is a very female orientated industry. Mm. It's like counseling. There's a lot of female counselors, both fantastic in what they do, but we do need more men, more males and black males, especially nowadays. You know, from our community, because obviously a lot of the black boys or a lot of the cases that we work with, unfortunately, they are black boys.
Black boys, yeah.
You know, but from my point of view, there are, I mean, look, I'm not here to put down social work. I would never do that. I'm a big advocate for social workers and in what they do. But there is a stigma around being able to voice your opinion or to talk about making changes. Because for me right now, things are stale.
Agree.
Yeah. I'm bored of parents arguing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's only one loser and it's a child.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And we've got to do better. Right. One of the things I was saying to Nana that needs to happen a bit more is it'd be good if social workers could go into the schools on a compulsory basis where maybe once a month, they go into the schools, they talk to the parents about just what social workers
do,
you know.
Share more light on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Yeah. But also, parenting classes are not at the level that it should be in schools. And maybe, I mean, it is with a local authority, but not at the level that it should be.
But even in local authority, there's still a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to be done.
It's a lot of work to be done.
But for me, there is bias towards the fathers, 100%. I'm not gonna like shallow it or pretend. No, there is.
So is that due to the system, or is that just down to personal preferences on emotions?
I think it's the system. For me, the system's broken. I'm gonna be honest with you. Well, me and I, we have these chats that we have anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And these are chats I have with fellow professionals. For me, the system is designed for the mothers. I'm going to be honest with you.
And do you agree, Nana?
Do you know what? I'll be honest, because I need to be very, very balanced. I think in certain cases, there's an imbalance. There is. Mm. And I can understand where a lot of fathers come from in terms of that actually it's more favorable towards mothers than fathers. And that's not me as a social worker trying to belittle mothers. It's just from cases that I've worked and that I've seen, I can see where a lot of fathers do struggle. And I can see where a lot of fathers say, actually, there's a lot of biases. Now, the cases that I've worked where I've been very, very balanced, at times, sometimes mothers haven't always been happy with me when I've written my court statement to say that actually, the children should have equal footing with the parents, because often when I've gone to do my reports, sometimes the parents will draw me in, the social worker in. Oh, she's like this, she's like that. They will show me text messages he will show me text messages and say, oh, he's this, he needs that. And often the sad thing, Dwayne, is that you hear the children often speaking the same rhetoric. So I've had children sometimes where they're around their mothers, and I talk to them, it's like I'm speaking towards the mother about their dad. But then when I speak to the child, maybe in a school setting, they speak very lovely about their dad.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the children are often sometimes projecting what they're hearing from either side.
All right, so let me just ask you this question.
Yeah.
Do you find that sometimes the child could be influenced by the mother?
Absolutely.
Of talking bad about the father?
Absolutely, yeah. And as a social worker, I'd be very, very stupid if I say that doesn't happen.
Yeah,
that does happen. Yeah. And often when I've done my direct work, but the reason why sometimes I go and see children in schools is because I want to see them away from the home environment. Mm. I want to speak to them away from their mum and away from their dad. I want to know how you really feel about your mum and how you really feel about your dad. Because often sometimes you do get parents who do coerce their children. And often they'll tell the social worker exactly what their other parent might be saying. It might not be true, but it might be true, might not be true, but often that happens. So I think sometimes social workers, what we have to try and do is that when you're caught between mum and dad, you have to kind of go beneath the surface, speak to the child away from their parents, mm-hmm. maybe do an unannounced home visit, maybe go and see the child at school and get a full flavor of what's actually happening for them between their mum and dad. Because at the end of the day, they need to be seeing their mum, they need to be seeing their dad. But I do agree that sometimes, yeah, there are lots of fathers who feel the system is very, very biased. I've had fathers who have been in my office who have broken down in front of me because they're not seeing their children. And a social worker, that is very, very hard for me. They feel comfortable speaking to me because I'm a man. I'm able to kind of resonate with them. Some of the men said exactly what Robert has said, that they feel sometimes if they have a female social worker, that the female social worker might be completely biased towards them and not really hear their voice. If they have a male social worker, they feel that actually, you know what, I can be vulnerable with him about how I'm feeling and what is their route to be able to have access to their son or their daughter, which is very, very true. And I can see why that there is an imbalance within within the system. Fathers often don't feel they are heard by social services at all. It's really, really important that you have your statutory footing when it comes to having access, but also making decisions for your children. Bruv, there's lots of mandem who I've worked with, yeah? Bruv, they haven't got no legal footing. And it's hard because when I speak to them and they're like, Nana, what can I do? And it's like, bro, university certificate? No, I'm not. And it's like, it makes it very, very hard. You can't make any decisions. If you are not on the birth certificate as a father, you can't make any decisions. You can't have any influence whatsoever. Social workers can tell you only a certain piece of information. Even when it comes to, for example, being next of kin or picking up your children from school, unless the mum says, "All right, cool," you got no footing.
All right, let me stop you. There's two angles, right? Yeah. So the first angle I'm going to go at you with is it by choice the father not being on the birth certificate, or is it the mother hasn't put the father on a birth certificate for being spiteful?
It's a bit of both.
All right.
So to answer your question, what you asked before, I just want to go back to that as well. You see, there's a lot of man them, yeah, or a lot of fathers. They're not informed. They're not educated. Yeah,
that's another thing as well. Yeah, I agree.
Educated. When you're a father and you've broken up, or let's say like you're a new father now, everyone knows by right, go and sign that.
Go and register the birth, yeah.
Right? That should be standard procedure.
Yeah.
Okay, right, yeah. This is called PR, right, yeah?
Parental responsibility, right? Yeah.
This is very, very important. Because if you're not on that birth certificate, as Nana said, problems.
A lie.
Problems.
Yep.
Drama.
Yeah.
Passa.
Can't say nothing.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You can't say nothing to your child's mum. She's got everything on lockdown.
Yeah.
Right? She is the head woman in charge.
Social worker or not.
She is the top OG in charge.
Yeah.
You don't tell me, I tell you.
Yeah.
She's pointing fingers like that.
Nah.
Right, yeah? I know you could do is.
Nah, but it's true.
Like you're behind, you're like that.
You can't do nothing, right? Bro.
You know, putting the hoodie down. You can't say anything.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that upsets me about a lot of men or fathers, some irresponsible, some men who act like little boys, very immature minded, and some farmers who like do better. Now, if you're a father, right, I expect you, yeah, to go and get the required information.
That's right.
All right, go out there, go and see, go to the court, go and get the forms,
Google the thing.
For me,
yeah,
there's no excuse.
Yeah,
I've got friendship groups, right? They haven't seen some of their children in 10 years, 5 years, 6 years. What are you doing, bruv? What are you doing?
Yeah.
So when you're on the phone to me complaining, sometimes I just let them talk because I've told you what to do. Mm. Don't complain, oh, I haven't seen him. Go and get the required help and go and study. Because hear what now, yeah? When you need to go and read upon last week's football match, yeah?
You're there.
Or looking for a pair of trainers that, we like, no.
Or the next rave, you're
or
there.
Or the next rave,
yeah.
You're there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Right, yeah?
That's true.
This is children we're talking about.
Yeah.
So it just showed you as well how much they care about their children as well.
I gotta be real. Some of the mandem sometimes, when it comes down to it, yeah, some of the mandem are not involved in their children's lives. Some of the mandem also can be quite spiteful. I'll tell you the reason why I'm from. I remember there was a case that I worked with, yeah, as a young black boy, my first local authority, where Rob is now at the moment, yeah. And this young black boy was going to go into care, but he went to his grandma's, innit? And then his grandma couldn't manage and couldn't cope, innit? Do you know what I mean? But he was on a periphery of going to care. So when I spoke to his mum, I said to his mum, what about his dad? And she said, no, the dad lives outside of the ends, but the dad's got his own family now and everything. She's like, but listen, Nana, if you call him, it's going to be a mazza. I said, listen, your son could go into care. If there's a way I can avoid that, let me talk to him. So, bruv, man called the father, said, listen, I'm your son's social worker, innit? Basically, potentially he could go into care, innit? He's at his grandma's house, he's involved in some passa. What's your role? Oh, bruv, you know my girl, you know, she's the mad girl, innit? Yeah, we beat and everything like that, but bruv, it's all on her, innit? Bruv, let the youth stay in care. Bruv, this is what man's hearing. I'm like, bro, like, fam, listen, your youth could go into care, innit? And I'm saying to you, fam, if there's a way I can do an assessment of you, I'll come out of the ends. I'll come out of the ends. Let me come and assess you. Nah, bruv, so pass her. Nah, allow it, bruv, innit? Nah, it's her son, innit? The mum gets a call from the father, innit? Why are you telling my social worker your business for? Bruv, you know I don't want the youth, bruv. It's your problem. She goes, Nana, this is the reason why I said to you, don't call the father. Because the reason why, fam, I do that is because I don't want any father to come and say, you know what? The social worker didn't come and call me. Yeah. I've called you about your youth. I've called you to tell you that your youth could potentially be in care. Okay, you and mum are not on levels. I'm saying I want to do an assessment of you to get your son out of the care system. You're going to spite your son because you don't rate the mum. So what happened? The boy actually went into care. And it's like, rah. I was like, fam, that whole thing could have been avoided. The boy went into care. But what happened is that eventually the mum moved and he went out of care. So he went back to his mum. But the point I'm trying to say is that there's man them out there. Because you're not on levels with the mum, you're going to spite your child. A social worker saying, let's get your son out of the care system. You're saying no. Then you're cussing off the mum, saying, why are you telling the government people them about me? Nah, bruv, that's your you. You deal with him, innit? Like, why? And this is what I'm trying to say, that sometimes there's some man them who don't step up. So if the mum is giving you some heat and is saying to the social worker, listen, Nana, this man's a waste, man. And then I'm like, listen, let me verify that. So I go and call you and you give me that response. Then of course I'm going to back the mum and say that, you know what? I hear what the mum is saying, because everything by that phone call, you've just spoken everything the mum said. I've not even met you. You know what I'm trying to say, bruv? So I think sometimes there's a part whereby actually some of the man them, and this is Baby Father's podcast, some of the man them, you got to be a lot more accountable. You can't ghost. And then the mum is raising that child, yeah. And then say for example, there's safeguarding concerns, yeah. And the mum is doing, because bruv, there's mums I know, yeah, who I've worked with, they're doing everything. And this common denominator is dad's not involved. I'm trying to work with them. Then when I call you, you're spying the mum. So if the mum's saying, Nana, you know what, this man's a waste, man, and I call you and she verifies that, you can't ever come and say to the social worker, well, you know what, the mum was blocking me. Because when I called you and I said to you, listen, your son's about to go into care and he needs you, you're like, nah, because you want to spite the mum, but you're spiting your child.
See, the thing is, I think mine and Nana, this is the thing, Nana's talking as a social worker, all right, yeah? Social worker, right, yeah? So, but I'm gonna tell you from my angle now, yeah? So my angle is, I used to work in a special needs school, yeah, as a inclusion officer, okay. Right, yeah? So that's children with extreme bad behaviour. Then I worked in a couple of alternative provisions, which is a PRU, right, yeah? Then inclusion, which is children that have been thrown out of school and they're looking for a school and they end up in a PRU or AP. And then the youth offending service. Where my role is different from Nana, yeah, and a social worker, social workers do not see these children every single week. Some of these social workers only see some of these children maybe twice a month, once a month, every 6 weeks, just depending on the scenario and the situation.
The case thing, right?
So my role would be, I'm seeing that person maybe once or twice a week consistently. So my input and my influence, yeah, and my strategies that I might put in place in helping change that young person might be a bit more higher than a social worker. That's not taking anything away from a social worker, but obviously I'm talking on behalf of maybe the mentors and the schools, whatever, whatnot, right?
Because you're actually working with the child.
Yeah, I'm actually working with the child, okay, right, yeah? So this is where the job titles are a little bit different and everything, right, yeah? So now, if I've got a young person that's, let's say, gang-related, or mum's struggling, or mum's, You know, she's got, she's just, I don't know, she's got one job, or she's got one main job, and she's got like a cleaning job. And, you know, the son who's, I don't know, maybe 12, he's got to look after his 5-year-old son, whatever, whatnot. It's a mess, isn't it? That's not even there. So for me, I'm all about, okay, what strategy can I put in place to make sure that I'm hearing dad's side and mum's side? I'm not there to be mixed up or to cause pass up. I just wanna know why. Go on. I wanna know how you broke up. Yeah, I do wanna know the pass up. I wanna know who done what. But guess what? I'm not there to judge them. I'm there to help the child. That's my main priority. Yeah? How can I help Cain and Abel? That's what I'm gonna call them today, yeah. Cain and Abel.
Yeah, yeah.
Normally it's Timmy, yeah? Yeah. But how can I help Timmy and his brother and sister? Yeah? Mm. All right. So Nana's right. As a man, right, yeah. Right, it's very important that we talk to that man, or we reach out and we attempt to do it.
Yeah,
because it's not about being biased out here, right? Now we're on the Baby Fathers podcast, so today for me it's about being an advocate for the man. Then one of the things that irritates me and frustrates me, in fact, it angers me, there's too much men that are not seeing their child.
Yeah,
too many, right? Yeah, and there are mothers that are stopping the fathers from seeing their children, and it's not fair.
Yeah,
and they think it's cool. Yeah, they think it's a good thing. No, it's not a good thing.
It's true.
It's a bad thing.
It's true.
But is that down to feelings? That can be down to...
Brother, shall I tell you what it's down to? Ego. Ego and power, and more ego and more power. And what it is as well, there are no consequences, because once the child is born, yeah, we know the mum's got PR straight away, right, yeah?
We have to acquire PR and go and register, right? Yeah.
And if anything goes a bit left, or doesn't go according to plan, or they, you know, they're not getting along, we all know that the mother gets all the PR and that that hasn't got a chance.
And I agree with Rob, because I think that there's a lots of mandem, and that's not the first time I've heard that. I've heard enough mandem say to me, Nana, I know you're the social worker, and I know you're trying, bro, but bruv, there's no consequences for her, you know, stopping me from seeing my youths. There's no consequence. And I think a lot of the men them say, Nana, like, yeah, I know you're backing me, but legally, what can you do? And I say to a lot of the men them, listen, this is not the local authority making an application for your child. This is a private matter between you and the mum. The only way that the local authority gets drawn in is when CAFCAS make a referral and say, listen, local authority, we need you, man, to come and settle this thing.
Yeah, but bruv, even CAFCAS are not great as well. They're not, bruv.
I've heard that too. I've heard that from a lot of fathers who are saying they think CAFCAS is imbalanced. There's fathers, there are people watching this, but there's people who say that CAFCAS is imbalanced. And as people say that social services are, and the thing is, do you know what it is? For me, it's about you as a social worker, innit? Because I can't speak for every social worker who watches this. I can only talk for me. I know when I've had cases, and I work with mandem, and I work with mother, and they're at war, I know I'm very balanced. I say to mothers and fathers, listen, I'm not taking no side, you know? I'm not here to take your side. My main thing is about the best interest of the child, and the child needs to see both parents. There was one that I had, yeah. This father, this mom, they broke up. And where it gets messy, bruv, is when parents go and put it on social media. So the mom was putting this on social media about the father, and then the father was doing this. And I said to listen, both of them, look, you know what, yeah? First thing, I'm your social worker, yeah? Take that shit down, yeah? You lot are saying about, oh, he's... I said, take the shit down. Bruv, all the father was asking for, yeah, was for 2 weekends in a month for his daughter. That's all he was asking for. The mum was pushing. I said to mum, real talk, yeah? He ain't asking for much, you know? He's asking for 2 weekends in a month and to take his daughter on holiday. I said, mum, real talk, yeah? What's your issue? No. What this father's asking for the bare minimum. He's asking, I want 2 weekends in a month with my daughter every month, and that's it. And his mum was pushing. So when I wrote the court statement and I made it balanced, I said to the courts, I gave evidence. I said, you know what, what he's asking for is fine. He's asking for the bare minimum. The mum still has her most of the time, most of the year, everything. He wants 2 weekends in a month. For whatever reason, that's what he's requesting. Yeah, he doesn't want any more, any less. I said to the court, I think the mum, to answer you, what he's asking for is very, very little. I don't see no problems with it. And these are the terms and conditions. This is recommendation and requirements. If he wants to have his daughter, if he has to cancel, I told him, listen, if you need to cancel and change your plans, you email the mum 72 hours before, bruv. Not the last minute. I've told them both. But I was like, mum, that's bothered you. I don't think he's being unreasonable. There's a lot of mothers who I do challenge. I have challenged in my career, in my time as being a social worker, and say to them that I want to ask you, what is the origin of why you're stopping him? Are there genuine safeguarding concerns as to why you're preventing him, or are you in your feelings?
You know what it is, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, there's something in the air right now. Yeah. Like you know, like fresh air spray. Like there's something in the air, you know. Yeah. And in the air, it's called bad, toxic, negative behavior. There is an obsession in our community with specific mothers. And they just have this, they wake up, I'm in control, I'm going to make his life hell. Now, I'm trying to understand what good or who benefits from a child not seeing their father. Because I would like to know, yeah? And I must repeat this, there are some fantastic, tremendous mothers out there.
Oh, yeah.
But, just as there are some not so great fathers or fathers who are irresponsible, there are some mothers that they take no accountability and they don't even apologize for it. I got to say this as well, as a man, and also as a father as well myself, right, yeah? Men have told me we don't feel rated. Men have told me, in fact, children have told me that their mum don't respect their fathers, right? This is just generic conversations I have, but, you know, one of the things I must say about schools, I'm sorry to change quickly, right, yeah? Schools are very supportive with involving mum and dad. That's one thing about schools. They will never judge or no, let's reach out to father, let's reach out to the dad. That's one thing I give head teachers. They want to know, who's the dad? Can we involve him? Make him come in. Is he allowed to see the child? Does he see the child? Oh, I tell you what, let him come in every Thursday from 3 to 3:30 to spend time with Jasmine. They're very supportive like that, yeah? But for me, bruv, it's the behavior. And there's something in our community, in our black community, where it's like, allow it now.
But bro, do you know what? It's bigger than the black community, you know, because there's problems
with
mothers misbehaving towards being deep towards fathers who are making it very difficult, which this is not even a culture thing. This is across all borders across borders right now. Because I've been getting a lot of fathers who come on there, and you'd be surprised to even fathers we talk off air who are not our colour. Or our culture.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, you understand? So.
But, brother, once again, I keep saying it goes back to the system. I'm like, this is me talking as a practitioner, professional, right? Yeah. This is just my point of view. Not from a social worker point of view. This is from my professional point of view. My professional and personal point of view is the system is not designed for men, right? Yeah. We do not get a fair share of
there's an imbalance.
And this is facts. It's not, I'm not making it up. These are the facts.
Agree.
These are the reason why you see all these men dressing up as Superman or Batman and they're outside the town hall.
Fathers for Justice, the charity,
Or one of my friendship groups, his brother committed suicide.
That's high as well.
Yeah, it was high.
That is high as well.
Men's suicide is high because they don't see their children.
But also, just to even jump on there as well, another thing what fathers are obviously feeling very passionate about is they don't get to see their child, but CSA are quick to want to intervene to tell the father, this is what you have to pay. And the mother's quite happy taking the money, but still not allowing the father to see his child.
I've had, to be honest with you, that is very common, and I've had a lot of fathers over the years complain to me and say, I don't understand that, because actually I'm providing, but I'm not seeing them. How is that possible?
Right. So CSA, right? They use bully tactics. Yeah.
Agree.
You're bullying a man. Don't bully a man.
Agree.
What do you mean? Hang on. You're coming to the phone ringing me to bully me on the phone. I don't think so. And then you wonder why at times man them or the fathers be a certain way. Right.
When you say certain way towards the mother.
Okay. All right, yeah. Now, if you're a man, right, yeah, and I expect you to be a man, but if you're a man and financially your circumstances are not as great and you're making an effort to accommodate or supply a certain amount of money. So let's say, for example, all right, he's got to pay the mother £300 a month, okay? All right? So he's saying, okay, I can afford £300. No, you got to pay £700. Mm-hmm. Pardon me? No. Don't bully him. He's saying that's what he can afford. But they're using his bully tactics. And as I keep saying to you, for me, It is very biased. And I'm not shying away from that. It's biased. It's a system, bruv.
But when we talk about the border tactics are that they were threatening you. We were coming in your account and take the money if you don't pay it. If you don't pay it, you can either go to court. If you don't go to court, you can maybe go to prison. So as you said, they're using these border tactics to tell a man, well, at the end of the day, this is what you have to do. And if you don't do it, this is going to be the consequence. And I don't think sometimes the mothers don't understand.
Brother, I done a home visit one time. I done a home visit one time. And the mother and the father were arguing. So I saw the young person at the back of the garden. I go, yeah, don't worry. What's the diet down? It's me and you will go out. We'll go play some football. So one of his friends, thankfully, came to get him. And he went outside with his friend. So I said to them, Rai, what's going on? You know, she said to him, it's okay. Because I just told him about your side money and I'll make sure I get more money off you. So they know what they're doing, bruv. bruv, listen, I'm not going to beat behind the bush. Like that. Because I think sometimes it's good to be PC, it's good to be professional, but you have to just talk the real stuff, right?
Agree.
Are some mothers out there, they know what they're doing, bro. They know. They know the system.
They know how to play the system.
They know how to play the system, right, yeah? There are mothers, right, yeah? Yeah, do you know what? I'm going to get him back. I'm going to hit him where it hurts. And how they hit him where it hurts is, you're not going to see your child and I'm going to mess with your money.
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
is what they do. But it's wrong though, bruv. It's wrong.
I agree. And even going back to you obviously work with kids on the young offender side or whatever, right? Do you see a lot of these kids who you are obviously managing, are their fathers in their life?
Well, unfortunately, all right, so in youth offending, and I'm sure my fellow youth offending practitioners will unfortunately agree with me. You know, we have a high rate of young people who don't have fathers. That is just the caseload and it's just the reality of how it is right now, unfortunately.
The cohort, isn't it, of young people? Yeah.
And it's difficult because then you've got, I suppose, the male practitioners or the male youth offending officers or workers, they're there to like take the part of the male role model for that young person right now. And a lot of mothers are struggling, you know, bruv.
Yeah.
Listen, one of the things I'm hearing right now from a lot of the mothers is, I can be their mother, but I can't be their father.
Yeah.
Right, yeah? And you know what? I want mothers to tell the fathers that more. Just like, because sometimes, like I've got a saying, yeah? A man can't teach, a mother how to be a mother, right, yeah?
Yeah.
And, do you understand where I'm coming from?
No, I'm saying what you're saying is a father can't be a mother to a child. He can only be a father.
Yeah.
And a mother can't be a father to the child. He can only be a mother. So he needs both
right.
parents.
Right, yeah,
that's
yeah.
right.
That's right. So preach it. Tell them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make it known. Let's work together. And this is the issue. I just think it's just, do you know, it's really sad to me. For me, it's heartbreaking because sometimes when I read some of these cases, I think, oh man, another one without a father, a next one without a father. And it's just like continuous and continuous. And a lot of my cases as well, a lot of them are gang related. Some of them are died, right, yeah? And then when I look at the case, there's no dad.
But is that through choice? Or is that, like, is it through choice? The dad don't want to be in it? Or is it the mum has stopped the father?
But this is the thing.
We don't know, bro.
We don't know. And sometimes context is everything, yeah, when you work in these cases. And this is the reason why I know what Rob said about, you know, that sometimes social workers don't always have the time. But particularly for me, when I've worked with a lot of these cases and whereby the case has been open to me for a very long period, and I speak to the mothers and I say to them, so where is dad? What's happened between, and sometimes the mothers don't want to go there. And then when I pry too much, they might go, say, I don't want to speak on it. But then at times it makes it, I may get that it might be difficult for you to revisit the past, but then it makes it hard for me to have a holistic view of what's going on because some mothers say the father's completely absent, he's not involved. Sometimes the worst ones that, brother, I've had are the ones where, but actually the mother said to me, Nana, you know, the father lives in the area, he lives 10 minutes and he walks straight past his son. Those ones hurt the most. I remember once I had a case where I was with a young person in the community, saw his dad, and it's my dad. The dad walked straight past me and the son. That was it. And I'm like, wow, really?
They're still in his child.
Yeah. And he's like, no, my dad is in the ends, you know. Walked straight past me. They don't want to know. They don't know me. And do you know what? This is the thing. I think it's good we're saying this. I think this is the Baby Fathers podcast. And this is me talking as a black man now, not as a social worker. But I think as men, I think we have to kind of look at, I think sometimes we have to look within ourselves, and I think sometimes we have to look at our own kind of traumas that we have. I think sometimes our own traumas and upbringing, they impact how we parent and the relationship that we have with our own children. And our children are the ones who suffer, really. And I think sometimes we're not always good at having that kind of emotional regulation or being able to communicate. Yes, of course, there's a point where our mothers actually need to be responsible and accountable. But as men as well, we also have to look at ourselves as to why is it we're not playing the part? Us being absent because of how the mother is. Is that enough? Is there a way actually we can try and meet her halfway? Actually, what have we done to create that kind of barrier between mother and me? Is there a way that I can be amicable? If the mother has asked me to step up and I haven't stepped up, if she goes down and registers the birth and she has PR of the child, is there a point where actually, do you know what? I have to think, you know what? I didn't really step up. So if mom's doing everything on her own and she's got sole PR, is that because I didn't pull my weight? Or is that because actually she's being difficult? Because I need to be balanced here as well. I've got friends. I work with a lot of social workers. I've got friends who are social workers. And there's some of my social friends, they have kids. And if the fathers are not active, not involved. And some of them are like, well, Nanette, what's with you? Like, he wasn't really there throughout the pregnancy. He wasn't there even now at the moment. So when I went to go register birth, I didn't put him on there because end of the day, it wasn't just about the financial thing. It's about the emotional thing. When I'm telling you about your child and you're saying you don't want to know and you're questioning me and you're questioning, have I slept around? And I'm the only person that you slept with and it's your child and you're saying no to me. For me to give you parental responsibility, why? Do you know what I'm saying? This is what I'm saying.
But then once again, she's in control.
This is what I'm saying. Some friends have said to me when I've spoken to them. I'm like, oh, about the dad, because you know, and they're like, well, but he's not playing the part. This is what I'm hearing. Do you know what I'm saying?
But the question I have to ask is, in the relationship, how was the relationship? Was they actually together, or was it just a link? Because if a man is trying to ask the woman, like, well, is a child mine or not, that would more come from if they were just linking to if they maybe was together, if they was actually boyfriend and girlfriend. That's something more less you're going to ask.
You know what, you're right, yeah. And this, what you said, bruv, is important. There are some circumstances whereby actually, if, say, for example, if they're in a relationship, I get that, but it's what you said earlier. If they're just linking, yeah, and then she might be linking other man, and then he's questioned and I've had that where some of them are like, listen, Nana, she's saying for me that I'm the father, but actually I'm questioning paternity because end of the day, I'm the only man she was linking. So you, the social worker, calling me and telling me this, I can tell you that I'm not the father of this child because she's linking other man. So then when I've said this to the mum, I said, well, actually, look, I've spoken to the putative father, that's what we call putative father, and he's saying that actually during the time when you were seeing each other, that you were also seeing another person. She's like, no, it's not the case. So then in the court arena, I say to the fathers, well, you know what? Can you take a DNA test? Because obviously, I need a DNA test to rule you out and rule you in. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I can't say that you're lying. I can't say that she's lying. But do a paternity test, then I can rule you in or out.
How many times has it come back negative?
So on some occasions, maybe like a few occasions where actually there's one, it might be a time where the father actually isn't the father. And then,
How does that go down?
I think some of them, they kind of already knew. They were like, well, you see, brother, man, I told you, innit? Brother, I know you're the social worker, but man told you that I'm not the father, innit? In other circumstances, and this is where it gets important, in other circumstances, there are fathers and they get DNA and they're the father. And in cases where, but actually the local authorities in court, we can make the father a respondent. And even in terms of getting PR, in terms of public family law, he's able to get PR through the public family law route. Mm-hmm. So a judge might say, all right, to the father, we're going to give you a child arraignments order, or we're going to give you a contact order. So paternity is very, 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 very important. Do you know what I mean? Because actually, in terms of father being able to make decisions, you need to be able to have that. It's important.
Do you know, one thing I tell fathers, because I have to keep saying Nana's a social worker, right? Yeah. And there's a massive, I think, because what it is, not everyone's nana. It's very important that I say this right here, all right? Because social workers work differently, okay?
Yeah,
right?
We do, yeah.
Right? Now, one of the things that I would like my fellow practitioners out there who listen to this podcast, right, yeah, is to sit down with the fathers, educate the fathers.
Yes.
Because I think, for me, that's something that I do now, right, yeah? Yeah. So, example, it could be like, yeah, bro or bruv, yeah, let's have a, come, let's go for a little coffee, let's go for like a drink right here, right?
Talk to the
fathers.
Because
the thing is, with the fathers, it's important that they know, because a lot of them don't know, they literally don't know. But if you're educating a father, because once he's prepared and he knows his stuff, right, yeah, then the mother can't take liberties how she's been taking liberties, right, yeah? Do you understand where I'm coming from, right, yeah? Because this is about fairness, right? It's 50-50, no one's better than each other, right, yeah? You're both as important as each other.
Everything he said is very facts. Yeah. And I'm sorry, bruv.
Yeah.
Said to social workers. Social workers, yeah, the reason why fathers are feeling the way they feel and they're right is because, you know what? Not every social worker sits down.
A lot don't do that.
So I'm going to be honest with you, with me, a lot of the fathers, when I used to call them for an hour, they were like, Nana, thank you so much for talking to me. Mm-hmm. I know I've taken an hour of your time. Bruv, sometimes they just need to have that social worker there to speak to them. Because for me, bruv, I like to be thorough. I like to make sure that, you know what, the father, I've spoken, like, even right now, being the team manager of a looked after children's team, yeah? Some of the fathers, like, sometimes they want to speak to the manager. So they speak to me. And I sit down with them and talk to them. And some of them are like, listen, Nana, to be honest with you, it's not a personal issue against you. I just, for the local authority, you lot have ostracized me. So you're the manager, actually, you're sitting down with me. I'm actually happy you've taken your time out to speak to me. And he's right. He's right. Social workers, to be honest with you, not all of us take the time out to speak. And I really hope this becomes a real. Not all social workers take the time out to speak to fathers, to hear the father's point of view, to educate them, for them to understand, okay, legally, this is what you need to do. This is what's going on with your child. Because when you don't do that, fathers will automatically feel that, one, the system's against us, and two, the professionals working with my son or daughter, you lot don't even have the courtesy to even call me. Whatever the mum has told you about me, speak to me to get my point of view. And I think that's what he's talking about in terms of the judgment, that the fact that you're not even calling the father to get his view, to find out what the relationship was like when he was there, why they're struggling.
Me,
and do you know what I'm trying to say? And it's important, we have to, yeah. I've said it, bro, we have to do that. I do that, bro, all the time, because yeah. I'd like to think that if that was me and my child and a social worker is involved, can you at least give me the courtesy to speak to me? Give me the call. Let me tell you to fuck off. At least, innit? Mm. You know what I'm saying, bro? That's, I always say to social workers, let the father tell you, fuck off, you've done your job. If you don't call the father, nah, you ain't doing your job.
So one thing that a lot of fathers have told me, yeah, and this is me just talking on behalf of fathers now, and I've been doing my job role for about 20 years now, yeah? All right, so I'm a seasoned professional, yeah? No, seasoned like rice and peas, brother, right? Yeah, all right? So this is me talking about of 2 decades worth of talking to like a lot of fathers, right, yeah? From different cultures and backgrounds, South London, East London, whatever, whatnot. Now, as I said, I'm not having to go to social care or social services. This is just a generic conversation that we're having, okay, right?
You have to talk to the team.
Now, one thing I think that social workers maybe need to do now is to have workshops on talking with fathers.
Yes.
Right, yeah? We already know it's compulsory and standard that they're going to work with the mother. It's just that's you know, you're talking to the mother. Oh, is the dad in the picture? Oh, he's not. Okay, boom. Let me refer back to my workshop that I learned the other day. There should be a compulsory workshop where they know how to handle and engage with a father. Okay, right, yeah? Give the father some services. Give him the best advice and support.
That's
how
right.
How to, you know, engage and how to have a better parent partnership, because that's what's missing, bruv. A positive parent partnership, right, yeah? And I keep saying this goes back to egos and everything, yeah? But I suppose also as well, us as professionals, we have a duty of care to make sure that there's some form of togetherness and it's not that. Do you know what I mean, right, yeah? I mean...
You see the workshop thing? I bruv?
Yeah.
I think we need to do it, bruv. Yeah, I'm gonna lie to you.
Because it doesn't happen in local authorities, no. And I know that for a fact. right? Yeah, it might be like in little.
No, bruv. Do you know what it is? Let me land on that.
No, wait. Yeah, but,
it's not enough.
No, there's training, yeah. But the training is not at the level it should be.
Because
if it was, right, yeah, then you wouldn't be getting fathers who still complained about social services, who still complained about not being supported.
Because
if they felt they was being supported,
yeah, they still wouldn't be complaining.
They wouldn't be complaining, bruv. So something's wrong. Do you understand coming from everything now? So,
but is that coming from the training side, on terms of when a new social worker is getting trained?
Mm.
Is it they're still going by the old system?
It's not, bruv. You know what it is? It's not about.
Bruv, good point.
It's not about. Okay, do you know what it is? Yeah?
Stale.
I'll be real with you, yeah.
Stale.
This ain't about a system thing. Stale. Yeah, in terms of the system. Reality is that child's got two parents. So you should be trying to find that dad. You can go through DWP and find the dad or where he is, innit? This is just about the fact that some social workers, they don't talk to the fathers.
So are they being lazy, or is it they just been influenced by the mother?
Do you know what? Can I be honest with you?
Circumstances.
I think it's a bit of both. I think sometimes there's a bit of laziness, but it's also something I feel as some social workers, sometimes the picture that's painted of the father, that puts some social workers off from calling them. And I think that's not right. As a social worker, you are meant to be speaking to both parents. Now, bruv, there's circumstances whereby sometimes the mother has the father's details and she won't give it to the social worker. So sometimes, bruv, there are social workers who become, and bruv, I'm just being honest with you, yeah? I know you don't agree with me. There are some cases, bruv, and I've experienced it, because I've told you this, fam. There's some cases, bruv, whereby I'm trying to get hold of the father.
Mm.
The mum's got the details. Nana, I'm refusing to give you the details of where the father is.
That's standard. Yeah. Though.
So I'm saying sometimes, bruv, there's some social workers that become unstuck, because if the mum's not giving you the details, what can you do? Mm. There's nothing really you can do. You can go through DWP checks. If the mum doesn't give you no name, date of birth, fixed abode, it's hard sometimes for social workers to be able to track down the father. Yeah. In the case that the mum gives you the details and she gives you numbers and gives you an address, you go through DWP, you try and find the father. Has he got an email address? What's his number? What about his mum? Has he got a brother? Is there anybody in the family who can get a hold of him? That's what you should be doing. Some mothers are like, no, I'm not giving the details. So
is that through spitefulness, or is that...
All right, bruv, sometimes I'll be rude to you.
Bad behaviour, bruv.
Bruv, I told you.
Bruv,
some
going away. Can you smell it? It's there. It's still there, you know?
Hey,
listen.
Sometimes, bruv, he's right. There are some mums who are just, they're difficult and they're spiteful. Now I'm not telling you his details. So what are you going to do about it? And as a social worker, it's like, well, I can't call the police and say
she's refusing.
Because that's not a crime. Because I've been properly real. It's not a crime. I can't say to the social worker, oh, by the way, the mum's refusing to give me the details. I can't. There's nothing I can do. Do you know what I mean? I can't go into her phone and be like, oh, let me have... I can't do that.
We know 9 times out of 10, if I know 10 out of 10, that the mum's got PR rights, right, yeah?
Yeah.
Right to the children, okay, all right? Okay. Father's not there, okay, all right? The father wants to see his child at least, let's say every other weekend, right, yeah?
Mm.
All right? Now... Mother's making it hard. No, you can't see him. Okay, right, yeah? Mm. Right? You go to the social worker. Afterwards, the social worker can't do anything, because what's happening, the social worker is not giving that father the required support that he needs. He wants to see his child. What am I talking to the social worker for? You're not helping me, right, yeah? This is how they feel. All right, yeah? So what's the next thing they do? They need to go to court, right, yeah? Once again, a lot of them are uneducated or not informed, or don't have the support system to get the required support, right, yeah? All right. The reason why they feel a certain way towards social services is because, right, they're not helping me. What are they doing? They're like, and this is the reality. So me and Nana may not agree on certain things.
Right
now, he's talking as a social worker. I'm talking from a advocate for fathers
that I work on a
daily basis. So it's completely two different things. Mm. Yes, Nana is saying he's an advocate for fathers, but he's coming from a social worker mentality, right? What I'm saying is, right, social workers can only help fathers to a specific point of view,
depending on the scenario.
So yeah, it's all good as saying that you know, this is what a social worker can do for me, this is the advice and everything, but it only goes so far. Mm.
But that's what I was going to say, because I don't want any fathers to think that social workers are not trying. Mm. And the reason I'm saying that is because with Rob saying, he's right. There's times whereby I do become unstuck, because fathers will say, Nana, but you're not supporting me. And I say to fathers, listen, the issue is I haven't got any legal... And bruv, this is why I got this bit has got to be important. when it comes to social services, if the local authority is making an application to remove that child from the family home via the family court, say we're going down the public family law, we're going to the family court and we're asking for an interim care order, section 31.
Explain that.
Yeah, section 31 is where the local authority makes an application to court for an interim care order to share a parental responsibility.
Take time.
Oh, sorry. Let me rewind it back. So I'm talking about legality now, yeah?
Yeah.
So when a lot of fathers say that social services are not supporting them, the issue regarding that is legality and legal jurisdiction. Mm. When it's mum v dad, social services or local authorities haven't got any legal jurisdiction to force any parent's hand. It's only when CAFCAS ask us to come and do a section 7, that's where the local authority can intervene and write their court statement. Yeah, so that's the issue. So when fathers are like, Nana, can you force the mum's hand? We can't, because the local authority doesn't have or share parental responsibility. If it's a case whereby the local authority is going to court, yeah, under section 31 to make an application for an interim care order, which is removal from the mother's, say the mother's care, yeah? And the child will be placed in foster care. If the father is notified that care proceedings have been initiated and their child is in foster care and the father hasn't got parental responsibility and we notify the father, that father can be brought in. He can get legal advice. Mm. We can say he hasn't got parental responsibility, but we want him to be a respondent to the local authority's application so he can be assessed. And if he, and if say, for example, his assessment is positive and he needs to get parental responsibility, that's when he can come in. We can either give him, he can get an order via the judge, or an order can be made that the father needs to go and register his name on child's birth certificate, and he gets parental responsibility. So that's why I have to separate it. So when fathers speak to me, Rob is right. Mum v dad, there's only a certain level we can do. We don't hold parental responsibility for that child. We can't make any informed decisions. I can speak to a mother till she's blue in the face to say to her, this is the reason why the child needs to have contact with their dad. Even, brother, in circumstances whereby the father has got PR and the mother has been difficult, I can only speak to the mother if she's blue in the face and say that the father needs to have contact. If the father, some fathers now, brother, what they're doing is, some fathers are like, you know what, fine, I'm taking you to court. So some fathers who have got parental responsibility and legal jurisdiction, they're going to court and taking mothers to court and said, you know what, you're stopping me from seeing a child? But right, I'm going to take you to court. So actually, I've got PR already. I want to get a residency order. That child's going to live with me. So I just think I want to be clear, because I know where fathers are coming from, but they have to understand from a legal standpoint, if his mother, free father, can't intervene. If it's us, the local authority, who make an application for a child to be removed, and we go to a family court and they remove the child and the father hasn't got PR and the father's notified of the court, of the care proceedings, then he's brought into play, because then he can become a respondent, he can get legal advice, and he will be able to get some sort of order depending on the outcome of the proceedings.
One of the things, and I don't want to sound two-faced, but one of the things I would say to fathers, though, it is important to engage with a social worker, right? Very important, because they can help you. As much as I say,
They're biased.
I don't want to come across as biased and unbiased, whatever, whatnot. But at the same time as well, it is important that they try to engage with the social worker, right? Yeah. To get the informative information. Now, if you feel that you're not getting the support required, then okay, what's your plan B? Right? Yeah. What next? Okay. All right.
Well, lads, listen, because time is getting on. So I want to know from you, because we keep talking about this PR. So if a father is not on the birth certificate, how can he get himself on the birth certificate?
Okay, so there's a number of ways, isn't it? So obviously, if you're on levels with the mum, you can re-register the birth and put your name on. You have to go with the mum to the registry office and put your name on to say
flowers.
to say that you're the father, and obviously you go with your ID. What do you call it? You go with your ID, and if that all goes well, you can get parental. get parental responsibility, or you have to enter through something called a parental responsibility agreement as well. I think that one you have to go to court for that.
If you and your mum don't get along, then you do the second one you just said.
Yeah, parental responsibility agreement. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have to go to court, this is outside of a social group being involved. Obviously, you have to go via the private law route to get access. Now, a lot of fathers, they go and they might get a child arraignments order, or they get a contact order as well. Or they might go and do, well, some fathers I know, yeah, it's contact order and it's a child arrangements order as well. So it is equivalent, but I'd always go and say, as soon as a child is born and you need to register the birth, if you're on good terms with the mum, go and register the birth. Also, because the whole thing about being married and unmarried, if you're married and your name's a birth certificate, even if you divorce, you still have PR. If you're unmarried and your name's not on the birth certificate, mothers automatically get parental responsibility. Fathers have to be the one to follow the mothers to get it, to get their PR. Bro, just to say that, you know, obviously coming on this podcast, innit, you know, as Rob said, you know, I am an advocate for fathers and I always want to make sure that fathers are seeing their children. And I know, speaking as a social worker, I know it's difficult because I know the hoops and hurdles and jumps that fathers have to go through, but it's always important. I want to be honest about the legal stuff because, like, talking to social worker, I have to always talk about that. And I don't want to come to lie to any fathers to go and say that it's going to be easy. It's not. Mm. I know difficulties you have. And Robert's right. Yes, you may not every social worker is like me, where, but actually, I'm going to give you the support. I'm going to be able to be as balanced as possible. Do you know what I mean? And I know that the system isn't imbalanced. As social, I have to be honest, there's an imbalance within the system. I recognize that there are lots of fathers who feel depleted and feel the system doesn't favor them. And I know that's what it is. Mm. I can't lie about it. I think there's an imbalance. I do think that there's parts that do need to change. I do think we have to start provide a lot more support for fathers. We have to, as social workers, speak to fathers a lot more. Make the attempt. Let the father back you off. By you not going and making the attempt, you're doing a disservice to the father. If there's safeguarding concerns, fine. But speak to the father. Make him feel heard. Even if you know you can't give him the support he needs, point him in the direction, the resources that he needs to go so he can. So even if you're that one social worker out of a million who makes him feel that, actually, you know what? All right, I've got the confidence. I know what I need to do. Just make sure that you give him the balance that the system may not be giving him.
Mm. Let's just get along. Mm. Like, there's only one person that loses out.
Mr. Child.
It's a child.
Yeah.
It's arguing and you did this and you did it. It's long.
Well, that's what it comes down to. Everyone's not able to put their feelings or differences aside. Mm. And it's the reason why the child is suffering.
Mm.
But listen, lads, I want to say thank you for coming on today's show.
Thank you, man.
I want to hear your lot's views today on today's show. I want to hear it in the comments below. How can they find you lot?
Nana. I know Nana loves.
Yeah, so basically, so myself and Rob, we run the Social Worker and the Mentor podcast. We are on TikTok, we're on Instagram, we're on YouTube, we're also on Spotify as well. We're going to be on Apple soon.
Yeah,
Our website's going to be up. Myself and Rob, like, we now do a lot of consultancy as well. So we do get a lot of parents who reach out to us. So, you know, if you are a father and you do need to get some kind of advice, email myself and Rob at thesocialworkermentor@gmail.com and myself and Rob will be able to respond to pointing you in the right direction. So we're open to that.
I will be your American muscle. Trust me. No messing about there. Yeah,
trust me. Like I said, we've worked together on cases where we support father. So like I said, if you need support, you can shout me and Rob. Nana, Rob, listen, I've got a situation here. We will do like a little Zoom with you, chat. It's confidential. This is what me and Rob be doing, man. So we're there, man.
Yeah.
Listen, man, keep up the good work.
You as well, man.
Thank you, bro.
Keep doing your thing, man.
Thank you. Man.
So listen, you lot. Till next time from the baby fathers. Peace. And we out, man.
Nice.